This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From Pittsburgh Hockey Now, that would be Dan Kangurski. And Dan, it's been quite an interesting start to the conference finals. From the standpoint of, I think a lot of people had both Tampa and Vegas sort of waltzing into a epic finals, clash, and both Montreal and Montreal and the Islanders have had different ideas.
Yeah, I'm one of those who thought that this could, you might see a four or a five game series in either of those series, and Paul, the way the game is right now, I mean, let's just cut right to the chase. The game is such that if you play strong enough defense, if you just get the right goaltending and really just button up as hard as you can, any team can compete in these playoffs. So despite the Islanders being much less talented than Tampa Bay and Montreal being well less talented than Vegas, if you get a goal or a couple and really button up, you can win.
Well, and I think, honestly, I'm of the opinion, I'm probably wrong, but I'm of the opinion that it's not good if Montreal and or the Islanders not only get to the finals, but if one of them wins it. I don't think that's good.
No, I tend to not think that either. I think if either of those two make it to the Stanley Cup final, the ratings, the interest level, the enthusiasm would decrease significantly. For both to make it, boy, that, the NHL might just, might see Gary Bettman underneath of his desk at that point. The Islanders, Montreal, quality teams. They're not unworthy of where they are, but if they're able to clutch and grab and obstruct and somehow take out the two best teams in the league, even I would be wildly disappointed.
Yep. I mean, I just think that would be, that would be really, really hard to watch. It just would. Could you imagine Montreal versus the Islanders in the final? That would be just really brutal.
You'd see two teams behind their own blue line and no one in the neutral zone. Both teams are just pushing the puck to each other. Like, okay, no, you attack. It would be brutal, yeah.
What was Montreal able to do in that last game? I guess it was last night against Vegas that they weren't able to do in game one.
Well, Jeff Petrie makes a big difference for them. He played really well against the Penguins in the playoffs, or rather the qualifying round, depending on how literal you want to be, last season. And Montreal really, Paul, I don't think it really boiled down to any great X's and O's scheme at this point. It boiled down to they felt a little bit overwhelmed in game one and just brought their very best in game two. A couple bounces went their way. And once they get a couple bounces, they're defensively good enough. I mean, they just absolutely clogged the zone. So no matter how hard Vegas attacked for the last 30 minutes of the game, Vegas couldn't find enough space or get that right bounce or just get that little bit of luck to get the third goal and to tie Montreal. So what they did right was probably just overwhelm Vegas with intensity and just a little bit more speed for just long enough to get goal three.
What does Tampa have to do tonight to make sure that they don't, sort of fall, into another game with the Islanders where they end up losing?
I think the key to beating the Islanders really is to be patient. Also, let's be brutally honest here. Part of it is officiating. The Islanders gave five power plays in game two. I'm not 100% certain, but I think that's the most that's been called on New York in the playoffs. The Penguins certainly didn't get five power plays against New York. So what Tampa Bay has to do is kind of just keep doing what they did in two, not take penalties, kind of push the Islanders into that. And by doing that, give them the extra shot first. Let the Islanders retaliate. Kind of go into the net, go to the net, and bust up the clog that they like to achieve. And it's rather simple and, maybe Captain Obvious here. But when you get those chances against the Islanders, you've got to finish. Because if you get three or four and you don't finish, they get one, they will finish. So you've got to, pop a couple in when you do get the chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously a key here in what we're talking about with these two teams. The expansion draft is coming up soon. And, I guess the question at that point becomes, do you have any more further insight as to, what might go on with the Penguins?
Insight, yes. Unfortunately, have not been able to get a read on the organization from inside or even close enough outside it to figure out who will be on that protected list. We do know that Malkin and Jari, I know there was some question about that a while ago, even brought up on the Fan. We know from a pretty good source inside now that both those players will be, in fact, protected from Seattle. A lot comes down, Paul. If the Penguins are confident that Seattle won't select Jeff Carter, if they can leave him unprotected, that allows you to put Jared McCann and Brandon Tanev behind that little wall, right, and make sure that they both come back next year. If you protect Jeff Carter, then you expose Jared McCann or Brandon Tanev, along with, I think it's almost a given, that Marcus Pettersson will be exposed and that Jason Zucker will be exposed. So, Jeff Carter kind of becomes a fulcrum or a key point there to Tanev and McCann. And I honestly, I don't know which way they're going to go until we see the list.
Yeah, I think that's obviously that's key on the minds of Penguin fans. Now, when we talk about hockey and making moves and things of the such, when, if there are going to be some changes to, the Penguins roster and whatnot, when would we see some of that?
Good question. By this point last year, Jim Rutherford had already acquired Kasperi Kapanen, and there were rumors of more big deals. I think maybe COVID, the way the season kind of played out and having a much more methodical general manager in Pittsburgh has slowed that pace down. We haven't seen anybody make that big splash yet. Paul, I think we're still finding out what the offseason will hold. Jack Eichel officially hit the trade market yesterday. You've got Seth Jones and now Dougie Hamilton. And I think teams that want to make moves are kind of sitting back and wondering, okay, how many more players are going to hit the market? Obviously, the more talented players, the more choices that a buyer has, the lower the price. So there's really no urgency right now. I think you might start to see moves beginning on July 1st as we get through this little silly season and teams figure out who they're going to make available to this, you know, to the Seattle Kraken, and more cards are on the table. I think we're probably 2 weeks away from that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, how does the expansion draft play into all this stuff in terms of all these moves? I think it probably has is a good reason why it's being held up.
Yeah, I think once you realize who you're protecting or you make those final decisions, then you probably have a little bit of time to pick up the phone and make some phone calls and say, we're going to leave this player available and shop that player around. I don't recall seeing too much of that when Vegas had their expansion draft. By the same token, George McPhee and the Vegas Golden Knights also made side deals with everybody by the time that the protected lists were released. Seattle's not doing that. So we might have this run on players, kind of on the periphery, the Jason Zuckers and the Marcus Pettersons, you know, say in Pittsburgh, you might see a lot of those players getting shuffled around for picks or prospects to teams that can protect them. And you know, teams like the Penguins, if they can find a dance partner doing that, so they get something, you know, some compensation for a player.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I think the thing about the expansion draft, and I was going to ask you real quickly, do you see that the Kraken will have the opportunity to be like Vegas and be good immediately, or did they close some, maybe, I don't want to use the word loopholes, or did they make it a little bit more difficult for them to, you know, build such a ridiculous roster?
Well, I think the big thing that's different, everyone learned. George McPhee fleeced everyone, the Penguins included, for additional draft picks, right? The Penguins gave Vegas a second-round pick to make sure they selected Marc-Andre Fleury. You're not going to see that frivolity this time around. You're going to see teams just accept their fate. Seattle is Ron Francis, the GM there, has set the price very high to protect the players, to kind of make those little side deals. So teams are backing away from that, which means Seattle's going to take the best players available. And when you only get to protect 10 skaters plus a goalie, there's going to be a lot of meat on the bone for Seattle to pick.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think a lot of teams were just sort of surprised or shocked by how good Vegas was at the end of the draft. They looked at their roster and said, wait a minute, that's actually a team that could win games. And they did.
Yeah, Alex Tuch and William Karlsson, two prime examples of players who were kind of, you know, secondary players on their original team who are prime players with Vegas. And Vegas got draft picks to select those players. I don't think you're going to see GMs make that mistake this time.
No, I would agree. I think that's obviously something that is probably not going to happen. Dan, I appreciate you taking some time, and let's hook up for some wings here very soon.
Well, you owe me.
I absolutely do. We'll do it. Thanks, Dan.
Have fun.
All right, buddy. That is Dan Kangurski, Pittsburgh Hockey Now. He is obviously very well versed in what goes on with the NHL, and I think it's an interesting discussion what's going to happen with this expansion draft. Going to be very interesting. So anyway, we've got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.